probably a spy. Another example was there was
a spy for
a spy probably for the NRA. And then there are other kind of pretty well known examples. Like for example, there was a former congressman, the late Congressman Henry Hyde, who was also a bank director at a bank. He didn't pay. The bank went belly up, and he was the only bank director who did not pay the settlement for the bank going defunct. And he had a lawyer dispatched a journalist or someone who posed as a journalist to get information from the guy who uncovered so much of this wrongdoing.
Well, Gary Ruskin, we're going to continue to cover this issue. We're going to do part two of the interview and post online at democracynow.org. Gary Ruskin is director of the Center for Corporate Policy, a project of Essential Information. We'll link to the report, Spooky Business, Corporate Espionage Against Nonprofit Organizations. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is more talk radio with hosts Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Today's topic will be maintaining harmony during the hectic holiday season.
This Tuesday at 8 a.m. on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, we'll talk with a Navy veteran who experienced sexual abuse at the hands of an officer and who fought long and hard to get compensation and justice. All this and more on Call-In Radio, Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, this Tuesday, 8 a.m.
The Recovery Zone 11 to noon this Wednesday to find out how our food choices may be affecting the environment, our health, and our relationships with one another.
If we really are serious about wanting to have peace on this planet, we have to look at the ramifications of our food choices. We're not some kind of species that is fundamentally flawed. We're always going to have domination and war and so forth. We're born into a culture essentially with an obsolete food orientation. The beauty of the message is that we absolutely can transform our culture.
Learn more from Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, on the Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland this Wednesday, November 27th from 11 to noon. Your turkey day could well never be the same.
Good morning. Today is Monday, November 25th, and you are listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott. Let me remind you that you may listen to us at 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web. It's KBOO.FM. Let me share with you some announcements which are good for you and those you may know. Coming on this Thursday, November 28th, it is called Proper's Thanksgiving Day Feast-a-Fall. In cooperation with Paul Shine's Café de la Soul and Celebration Tabernacle, Proper is sponsoring its 13th annual free Thanksgiving Feast-a-Fall on Thanksgiving Day from 12 to 4 p.m. It is a multicultural food celebration, traditional soul, ethnic, vegetarian, and some vegan, with live music. This is will be located at Celebration Tabernacle, 8131 North Denver at Kilpatrick, near the Fred Meyer Interstate, right next door to Poshine's Café de la Soul, west of Interstate DMV, north of Rite Aid on Lombard, two blocks south of the Paul Bunyan statue. So that is this Thursday from 12 to 4 p.m., a free Feast-a-Fall. Also on that day, Feast for Southeast invites you to their fourth annual free Thanksgiving Day meal at the Mount Scott Community Center, located at 5530 Southeast 72nd Avenue. This project is lovingly organized by community members with the intention of uniting the community on a day of thankfulness. You can join them from 1 to 4 p.m. on Thursday to share delicious, from scratch, American holiday food prepared by Oregon Culinary Institute chefs and students. All are welcome, and guests are invited to take home a free new winter clothing item and new toys for the children in attendance, courtesy of Project Warmth and Project Toy Box. For more info, go to feast4southeast.com. So those are two events that you may want to participate in. Well, not both at the same day. One in North Portland, one in Southeast. And for more information, you can always call this radio station to share with you again the information. So from those two announcements, I would guess that there's a holiday coming up this week. What do you think?
Seriously?
That's what I understand. Well, maybe, you know, a couple of holidays.
A few holidays this week. I mean, this is one of those very rare occasions where you actually have two holidays falling on the same time, that being Hanukkah and Thanksgiving. And I remember reading somewhere, I have to check my sources really quickly and find out how long ago it was, but I think I remember also reading that it's going to be 160-some-odd or 140-some-odd years before it happens again.
Before you can celebrate Hanukkah and American Thanksgiving.
On the same day. Wow. Right. And I have a family member who has a birthday on Thanksgiving. We seem to do that a lot in my family, birthdays and holidays. But, you know, that actually gives rise to part of the discussion today is this world that we live in now has crashed together in some wonderful and alarming manners. And one of the ways that makes it alarming is the fact that we've not had the opportunity to accommodate all of the differences between us that can cause friction or misunderstanding or outright conflict and hostility, to just take it all the way there. And so we need to find space to try to reconcile those differences. And some of those differences, as we've already alluded to, are politics and religion and spiritual perspectives, worldviews. So here you have in this country more of a blended culture than you've ever had before, possibly more than has ever existed in the world. And the world being so much smaller now than it ever was, that's saying a lot. So we have to figure out, how do we get along with each other? On a macro level, we think in terms of peace and diplomacy. And on a micro level, we think of it in the same terms. But we just have the players. The players are just a little bit different. The players are friends and family. Now, think about what I've said in terms of the world being smaller and blended situations on a micro level. Your family. Some of you may have blended families where you come from different faiths, different ethnicities, different parts of the world, different parts of the country, different places politically, different places spiritually. Now we're trying to come home for the holidays, and maybe we're even arguing over which are exactly the holidays. This is a chance to kind of talk about something that's both serious and lighthearted at the same time, given the fact that we've had our share on More Talk Radio of a lot of serious issues lately. How are you making it happen? Where are you for the holidays? Are you dreading it because you've got difficult family members who maybe are enmeshed and submerged in their positions or their views and not quite able to see anything else, or not willing, or maybe have a valid point and perhaps you might be the one who's not as flexible as you could be. Who knows?
I had a friend, we were talking online about the holidays, and I was sharing with him our topic this morning, and he said, you know, how do you deal with families on the holidays? And he sent a recommendation. He said, drink, but not too much.
Well, see, there we go. What's the definition of too much? Uh-huh. You know, I know I have a stressful job. I'm glad I'm just a social drinker. Anything more would cause me, well, some of those problems. Mm-hmm. I'd be probably one of those difficult but happy relatives.
But certainly, as you mentioned, the holiday season is it can be a joyful time, but also a very stressful time, as you suggested. And part of that stress is dealing with members of our own families, because of the nature of our society today, many of us are far apart and don't interact with family members on a daily or weekly basis. And oftentimes it's when these special days that come by every once in a while throughout the year that we gather together. That is a time of tension just in terms of preparation and getting the kids dressed and making sure you have the right directions, but also it may be filled with anxiety about what will happen. The saying is you can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your family, is very true. And while many might prefer to spend time with their friends every once in a while, just because of those blood relations or by marriage, we are in the same room, in the same space with family. So what are your strategies to making it successful? Give us a call and participate in this conversation. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. You can also email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. And we will share in some suggestions that we might have, some war stories perhaps, but also we would like your input, how you might offer some ideas or solutions to those around you. Celeste, you mentioned your family. Your family is
pretty dispersed.
Dispersed. Mm-hmm. Do you have any family rituals in terms of holidays, gatherings, or how does that happen?
No particular ritual. I had six siblings and two half siblings. We just call them our siblings, and we're spread around the country, literally in all four corners and in the middle. And so what we try to do is get together when we can, and the closest thing we have to a ritual is the females, including my daughter, is we do estrogen festivals, which just means we get together and we're supportive of each other, and we have adventures, and we do crazy stuff, and, you know, we go places, and that's it. We just have social time together, and we try to get our brothers and my sister's husbands to do the same thing, but they got some stressful jobs that doesn't let them get away, and so they have their own things, you know, but being the glue, that's what we do. That's the closest thing we have. Other than that, we have birthdays on holidays, so our big thing is to make sure that we have, like, double the celebration. So, you know, there's Thanksgiving, that it converges on Thanksgiving a lot, Christmas Day, Easter, and a couple of other holidays. And so we try to make that work. But no particular ritual, and we get together when we can.
Okay.
That's it. Right now, there's a bit of a brouhaha because one family member doesn't want to do a road trip to see the rest, and folks are trying to make that one feel guilty, and it's like it's a matter of physical comfort, and I have to intervene. Mm. But I'm the oldest. I guess it's my job. I don't know. That's what I was told.
well, that raises the point, because you mentioned the potential conflict and one family member not wanting to travel, and then you, it sounds as if you're playing the role potentially as the peacemaker, as someone who might smooth the sailings, as it might be the case. And that reminds me of One idea that someone suggested, I think Linda Mental, I've read, she said that, you know, we really need to pick our battles. You know, there always mm-hmm. will be those relatives who are just, get on your nerd. And, you know, every once in a while, she says, you have to decide if you want to take this on or simply respond with a pre-planned response. You know, like that relative who asks, you know, are you married yet? You know, do you want to really attack that relative who always asks that, or just say, well, you know, I don't know, got any ideas, you know, just.
You know, it'll happen when it happens. Or I have non sequiturs sometimes mm-hmm. when I have to deal with that. You know, that statement that doesn't really make any sense, like, I sure do love you, Uncle Rob. It's so good to see you.
Yeah.
Give a hug and a kiss and go sally forth.
Move on.
that's me. It's like, okay, because, you know, other than that, it'll be, you know, to the moon.
So how do you deal with difficult family members in difficult situations during the holidays? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Let's go to George. Good morning.
Good morning, George.
Good morning, all. I guess I must be one of the lucky ones because I can't wait till Thursday. We get together, there's about, I don't know, 20 of us, and we're all way left liberal, and we just have a grand old time.
Uh-huh. Now, see, that's wonderful. That's one of those unified families. So, okay, I'm going to...
There is a little alcohol and a couple bottles of wine, and it's just great. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to it. I think the people that suffer the most on Thanksgiving are the American Indians, because the holiday represents such a complete farce about the Europeans, Americans, and the Indians getting along so swell, which didn't really happen in history.
It happened in small places at small times, but
yeah,
you know, not as a large, grand experiment or experience, rather. Yeah. But
well, anyway,
so wait a minute, George. Wait, no, you can't get away that easy. Hold on. So I have to ask this as kind of like the prickly advocate, if you will.
Please.
So you all get along on every single point, huh?
Well, there's a couple from the right, but they're rational people. They're not the they're not the the diehard. In other words, we can discuss politics like adults.
Okay. So it sounds like in your family you kind of have some ground rules, and what makes it smooth beside the fact that they're rational and you're rational? Is it ground rules and an overarching expression of love, or like I'll take you out by the woodshed and give you a proper whopping, or what makes it happen the right way?
Well, I think it's probably more than anything just a desire to share ideas and get along.
Mm, okay.
Plus, I think just an overriding mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not always common to see and hear a family able to have I guess that kind of harmony across the board. Is there a unifying faith, or is there something besides that unifying rationality and overarching love that kind of helps you figure out how to express things? Because I'm sure that even though you all kind of agree and you have politically the same views, there have been some differences that have cropped up, and you had a dialogue, so to speak, that kind of helped you work it out.
This overarching faith idea is it's just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably a bunch of nests of agnostics, so there's no binding religious operating idea at all. I think it's just a feeling of love and understanding.
Okay, that is fair enough. Well, thank you for the call, and to let us know that there are people out there who managed to make it through the holidays with joy.
You're very welcome, and I wish all your listeners a very happy holiday. And you too, keep up the good work. I love to listen to you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, George shared with us his family, and it seems as if that's an example of things that's going on well. He did note in the beginning of his statement, or partway through his statement, that our ideas of the origins of this holiday is something that's not true in terms of the indigenous people and the European colonizers getting along. And that reminded me that for many of us this holiday, we have this Norman Rockwell picture mm-hmm. of the holidays and families, and we turn on and watch all those snappy Hollywood movies about what holidays are like. And I think they give us, for many people, an unreal picture of what it ought to be like. And I think if we forget about that image of how things are supposed to be and step back, and so we won't be too disappointed when we find out that Americana mm-hmm. family, everyone gets along. It's not the reality, and we should not necessarily expect it to happen, except in families like George.
Well, I don't know if I necessarily want to put that curse on George's family.
No, I mean, because everything goes so well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the whole thing about some of the images we see on TV, we have to remember that's to a large degree propaganda. You know, when we had first major wave of immigrant citizens come over to this country, there were people who went out and not only helped them acclimate, but helped them acclimate. You know, this is how we do it in this country, so this is what you need to do. And on one level, that seems really welcoming and a great peace and community builder. But on the other hand, you know, what happens to a person's individuality or their culture? You know, and so that goes back to something that I was bringing up in the beginning about how do we deal with the blended culture and politics that can be exemplified by the fact that we have holidays with different meanings to different folks.
Share your thoughts on that. How do you, with your family, deal with the coming together of different ideas, different thoughts, different backgrounds, different cultures, and make it through the holidays? Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. You know, one thing that I notice in my family, and I think as other families, is that, you know, every person in your family is unique, but also that they need to remind that my relatives are just that, mm-hmm. you know, people you are related to.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they have to be your best friends or even people you spend a lot of time with. In some case, you love them because you have to, but they're relatives and just that. And so that eases for me at least, the expectation or the tensions in terms of that reality check.
Well, you know, it's funny you would say that. You know, I remember when I came to this conclusion about my parents, and I loved them both dearly when they were alive. But, you know, my dad and I were a lot alike, and sometimes we would bump heads, and I just think, look at him, just want to shake my head. But I remember in my early 20s, I had this epiphany, which was my parents were just people. They were just human beings. They were just somebody trying to stumble through and make it. And I think it was because that certain level of self-awareness and consciousness had fallen on me, you know. And when I was looking at myself with my foibles and faults, and it hit me, you know. And so I have a couple of difficult to love family relatives. And basically my attitude about family members is that, like you said, you're related to them. It's like, that's why we have families, so that unlovable people have somebody who would have to love them. Somebody would be connected to them who could probably draw them back into the family, you know, into the family of humanity. And I say that both jokingly and seriously. But I want to encourage people to call in. You know, this is going to be a hectic week, and generally we've been talking about some pretty serious issues on More Talk Radio, and this is a chance to kind of blow off a little steam before you run out and do whatever your either daily ritual, weekly ritual, or holiday ritual. And then the phone number is 503-231-8187. Call us and talk about either family, how you're blending it, family, how you're mending it, or family, how you hope you're going to celebrate together without ending it.
Hmm. Well, you know, also, I recognize that because there's so much that goes into at least the mental and also the physical preparation for the holidays, that I think is also helpful because so much is happening, that you also need to plan some recovery time afterwards. You know, you're probably locked up in the house for the whole weekend with a bunch of people that you rarely see. And things can get really, well, just uncomfortable, let me put it that way. So I think as part of your preparation, also think of your recovery time afterwards. So plan that in, you know, one day just hot downtime.
I like that, the recovery. Yeah, that, you know, that's really important because we hype it all up. And, you know, I have a little political statement to mix in there because the day after Thanksgiving, I think it's a good day to, like, chill and not mm-hmm. go out and spend money. You know,
we can, not only the day after, but, mm-hmm. you know, so many stores are now opening up on the day of Thanksgiving. That's a whole other topic we can get into in terms of this consumerism.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, again, 503-231-8187. I know we might be having a slow start with the cold weather, but let's warm it up with some conversation and join us. Now, as I see the engineers on the line here trying to get our next callers together, so I'm going to take advantage of that moment and say the last time we had Hanukkah and Thanksgiving fall together was 1888.
Okay. I remember that Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I plan on remembering the next one, which is going to happen in 2070, and then in 2165, and then in another 70,000 years. And, you know, so that gives us plenty of time to kind of practice having those two holidays together, huh? let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Joel. Joel, yoo-hoo.
Okay, good morning.
Hi there. How you doing?
Okay, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. It's a little chilly outside, but I'll have some hot tea and make it work.
I thought I would chime in a little bit about the families and getting together over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to say that, you know, like a lot of families, there's a certain amount of tension between family members. We as a family, and I have a twin sister and an older brother, and up until age five, a mother and father as well. We lost our mom young. But we would always be kind of like the orphaned holiday family. Mm. So we'd go off to different families and have our Thanksgiving with them.
Mm-hmm. How did that work out? Were you all separated and just going to individual families, or did you go together as a trio?
No. So we would go as a family.
Okay.
To other Thanksgivings, because we never really got it together enough in our own family. Mm-hmm. Much like a lot of things, we really didn't get together too well growing up without a mom. We would just visit other families for Thanksgiving. But what happened after we kind of dispersed is that the family kind of broke down, and we really lost some contact with each other in terms of getting together, like several examples you all are mentioning about your families. In fact, at one point when I did make an attempt to visit my family over the holidays around Christmas, we had a big blow up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
And and in fact, I just went off entirely kind of ballistic on both my brother and sister, and they've actually ignored me for the past to, it's going on three Thanksgivings now.
Oh, well, how are you working on that, or are you just trying to deal with it?
Well, I mean, you know, deal with it is, what does that mean? Like coping without taking the initiative to resolve the issue?
Well,
I don't know if that's really dealing with it.
Well, were you trying to connect with them to resolve the issue, or are you trying to figure out who might be right, who might be wrong, or are you thinking?
Well, at one time, you know, I tried to connect in some ways because I was actually living out of my car for a couple of years, two, in fact, here in Portland,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't really think highly of that. And I think they insisted that it was simply a personal problem that I had to work out on my own. And ultimately I did. I indeed worked it out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm living inside a home now. But I contacted them when I, you know, got back into a house situation and haven't heard from either of them since.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you've lost, especially a twin, you know, because I can appreciate that bond. But one of the things that makes getting through the holidays both fun and or difficult are family. And so I guess the question is, will you be able to connect with any group during this holiday season that kind of welcomes you and makes you feel connected? Because I know Cecil had read about some opportunities to connect, and there are times, because I have a sibling up here, but before I had a sibling up here, I'd go and serve at one of the shelters, you know, and do something for that just because I needed to be around people. I come from a big family. So, you know, I hate to hear about people being alone over the holidays, because we make them to be a really festive occasion, and everybody doesn't have that in their life. Do you have a place where you can connect?
Well, the interesting thing about me is that I'm actually loved by a number of people, and in the 12 years that I've been here in Portland, I've generally had somewhere between two and three Thanksgivings to go to.
Good.
And that would usually happen after I took some initiative and kind of extended friendship firsthand, mm-hmm. and said, yeah, well, I don't have any specific Thanksgiving where I'm going to be at for the whole day. So, yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, playing as it goes.
Okay.
And would eventually be invited to several. This year, I'm deciding not to necessarily extend that same kind of engagement, and instead, I'm just gonna have a Thanksgiving dinner with a friend who's got a similar family as mine, who also doesn't engage with his family too much.
Well, be supportive of each other, and I'm gonna keep you in my prayers here for reconciling with your family, if that is really the best thing for you all, because I can appreciate that, especially, again, like you said, being a twin, you know. But don't be alone, George. You know, there's options out there, even if there are people you don't know that you can share the holiday with and the camaraderie.
I'm pretty good at not being alone, and
good.
Yet that tends to get a little tiresome sometimes. So, and by the way, it's Joel.
J-O-E-L, oh, Joel, I'm so sorry, Joel.
Celeste, thanks so much for your time.
Mm-hmm,
thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You have a happy...
Well, for you and all your travels.
You and as well, and have a wonderful and blessed year.
Well, thank you, Joe, for calling and sharing your thoughts. I appreciate him sharing and also recognize how he is able to connect with other people in his life. One of the points we were making earlier,
mm-hmm.
that friends are often become our families because of families of choice rather than of blood. And if I may, before we go to our next caller, let me suggest that for some people, being alone on holidays is just fine.
Yes, yes.
It's a choice that many people make. And I think many people who are without partner or family, certain people think that, oh, what a what a difficult time they must have during the holidays. Well, not necessarily.
That's
so.
That's true. That is true.
There are people who are just fine being alone on the holidays. So I think we also not feel obligated to that everyone needs to be around a lot of people.
Well, I sit corrected, and not only are just fine, but maybe thriving by being alone. That is true. So, you know, just to ask if somebody is interested in being, and if they say no, and you respect and love them, you know, unless you know otherwise, accept that.
And we'll go to the next person with some knowledge. I didn't get the name. Good morning. Helene?
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, that's me, I think. Helene, huh?
Yes, that's you.
Well, I am an immigrant, and so don't have much family here, but I do have a daughter, and we get together with her and her husband, and it's a very small group, and we do have our differences because we are a different generation, but because there is love, we manage to accept and respect each other, as you mentioned before. And that's all I wanted to contribute today.
Well, you know, can I ask you, being from a different country and then having family member of a different generation, I can appreciate, like you said, that there are some differences. Do you make a space and time to talk about the differences so that you can kind of get to know each other better and grow closer? Or are all of these topics kind of like off limits and you have other ways of connecting and deepening your relationship?
No, we don't avoid talking about things. No.
Mm-hmm.
Because my husband is a university professor, and he loves to discuss things.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
And there is no end to the discussions. But there is respect, and I don't always participate because, frankly, I get bored. But I'm there, and I'm the one that provides the meal, and so that keeps me busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that that everybody appreciates the food, and they always do. You know, they are sweethearts.
Great. So I got one more question for you. As an immigrant to the country, do you find the time and the places and the people who are maybe not from your country who still give you the respect and camaraderie and are able to share your particular holiday customs and what you grew up with, your culture? Or is it more of being in the United States and it's all about the United States and it's hard for you to find people who can connect with you from your cultural level?
No, I don't have. I'm from Holland, and there is a Dutch club.
Ah.
And in December, we have the Sinterklaas, which is a different holiday. It's in December 5th, celebrating, and this Sinterklaas gives presents, and it's focused on children.
Mm-hmm.
So we get together and bring kids and have presents for them. And also, what I do myself is give a present or make a present for a child and give it to any organization that asks for it.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty. So sometimes we create an oasis in the mist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, we welcome your calls to share how you make it through this holiday season, or even if you don't even view it as a holiday season and you look at it as just another day, yeah. You know. How do you make it through? Because in our culture, this is a really intense period where we are steeped in American holiday customs.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share your thoughts. You know, one thing occurred to me also, that a holiday, you know, certainly bring back lots of memories. And I think one thing it's helpful for people to recognize is that you are now a grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not that little child who sat at the kids' table, and you can make grown-up decisions.
You're not subject to whims.
You may no longer, you don't have to be a victim. Mm-hmm. You can get up and leave,
mm-hmm.
and it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
So you
can sit there and not say anything and enjoy your spoonful of whatever it is you're eating and not say anything, or yeah. smile.
That's correct.
Or you can tell them politely, this is your stop, get off.
Exactly. But that also reminds me of, you know, when you might be in a home, you know, with lots of people, lots of relatives, that you might also think of an escape plan.
Yes. You read my mind. I was just thinking that.
You know, you don't have to be stuck in the sitting room with 112 channels watching the football games over and over, mm-hmm. listening to the relatives over and over. Think of, you know, a way of escape.
I would always connect with my favorite relatives first, mm-hmm. and say, you know, what's our plan?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that was my dad. You always had to have a plan for something. So there was a plan for how we're going to get through, a plan for how we're going to deal with the difficult person, yes. a plan of escape, and then I would let them know politely, look, if at any point none of this is really working for me, I'm just going to bail, and I sure do love you. I'm making my plate and sitting there by the door. Don't you touch it.
That's right. You know, it might be good to also let people, maybe let your host know that, you know, I have to leave by 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if things are going well, you can say, well, you can alter that, but at least you
mm-hmm.
you let them know that you might be leaving at 3.
And, cell phones are wonderful. You can always set up yourself an alarm with your ringer of choice and have it go off. I need to take this. Oh, plans have canceled. I'll be here for a bit longer. Mm-hmm. There you go. Make your plan. Go to our next caller. Good morning, Charisma.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am wonderful.
All right.
So, with my family, it's just my mom and me. And so, we generally have Thanksgiving with my mom's family.
Mm-hmm.
And she has 10 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
That's a big family.
It's a very big family. And so, there's a large amount of dynamics and issues, and it's a very contentious relationship between a lot of them. When my grandparents were alive, we would always have Thanksgiving with everyone, and there would be always like over 70-ish people at their house.
Wow.
And because I have 49 cousins. And they all have, not all of them, but some of them have kids too. Mm-hmm. I'm like the youngest. And it used to be very, very strange. There would always be a lot of forbidden topics when we had those big family gatherings. But after my grandparents died, it's all been fractured.
Yes.
Mm,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of different issues and points of view and religions, mm-hmm. and just, you know, little family conflicts that took place as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now we generally, like, get together in smaller groups.
Mm-hmm.
Families.
So are like, the groups that get together, are the groups of family that get together, are they the ones that have the similar interests? Or do sometimes the, pardon my expression, but the warring factions, do they get together too, despite their differences, and just celebrate being family?
No, they never get together, not the warring factions, because they're they're very, like, the issues that divided them were extremely impassioned, mm-hmm. I guess is the right word. And, well, okay, I take that back a little bit. Usually it's just the people that get along. But, for example, my Aunt Joy and my mom get along very well, mm-hmm. and we generally have Thanksgiving with them and some of their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really big anyways. There's usually about, like, 15 of us because she has kids and they have kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they also get along very well with my Aunt Content, who has a contentious relationship with my mom. And last Thanksgiving, we saw her for the first time in a long time, and that actually went much better than I anticipated personally,
okay.
because mm-hmm. they both tried to, I guess, see a little bit from the other person's point of view, mm-hmm. and they talked about it a little bit. There were still, like, disagreements, but mm-hmm. it was better, mm-hmm. I would say.
Oh, good. And so, you know, you're a great example of large families trying to find common ground despite the fact that they have differences and common blood. So I applaud you all on trying to maintain, and I also applaud you all on knowing where the boundaries are and saying, okay, this is just not working, we're good, you know. But I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, Charisma, and maybe get to see some of that other large contingent of cousins that you don't normally get to see.
I hope so, too.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and as Charisma was sharing it with her family, you know, it seems as if she, first of all, it's such a large family, recognizing, you know, when you get any large group of people together, there are,
mm-hmm.
just because we are people, there are going to be differences. And reminds me that we need to be realistic as well, you know, unless our families have been in real deep therapy for the last year. Things aren't going to be much different this year than last year and probably next year. So, you know, have realistic expectations.
And you know, if necessary, seek a little outside counseling from your balanced friends, mm-hmm. you know, who can help you adjust your expectations. There were 10 of us, my three cousins and my siblings and I, and four adults. And so mm-hmm. I was used to, we grew up in a big house, and both, it was like chaos all the time.
Yeah.
Organized chaos for meals and then chaos while we're running around. So. You know, and it seemed like my parents always got along, and my uncle and aunt. But there would be those occasional fights, you know.
Of course. Well, as we continue our conversation, before we go to our next callers, let me remind you that coming up here on KBOO at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. It's a program of social and political commentary and with a socialist feminist point of view. At 10 is Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. 10:15, Barbara Bernstein, host of Locus Focus, interviews Gavin Francis, a doctor who spent 14 months at the Haley Research Station studying emperor penguins. At Disability Awareness with host Grace Reed is off today. We'll hear an excerpt from Letters to Washington, featuring an interview with Rebecca Wilford, attorney with disability rights advocates, about what happens to people with disabilities during natural disasters. At 11, Roberta Hall, host of Health and Healthcare Forum, guest is Dr. Ted Shetler, science director of the Science and Environmental Health Network, talking about environmental health concerns, about policies that need to be changed to protect human health and the environment. Hey, thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you may become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. This is More Talk Radio. We'll go to our next caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Happy holidays, Scott.
Oh, morning, and same with all of you, too.
So tell us about your family or holiday situation.
Well, yeah, I just thought it would be kind of nice to call, hearing this, 50 years later, you know. Mm. Anyways, I was just in third grade at the time. I'm 58 now.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, of course, what was taught in school, so then growing up and find out what reality is. So then, you know, back to being alone, and then, you know, all the holiday stuff going on, and then as far as being alone and being okay with it, then I think it pretty, bottom line is that for me, wanted to call and talk about 50 years later, that I think you go through more pain realizing what you weren't taught in school about the whole thing, and then you get okay with that, then you know it does, then you're okay. So
okay,
that makes any sense. So
it kind of does. It's like, you know, it sounds like, you know, you're a compassionate person and you learned one set of rules and one set of stories and facts about what maybe a cherished holiday was, and then you come to find out that, you know, it was a story that, while it might have been true in one particular spot, it was a cover-up for a massive genocide. So,
yeah, I know,
yeah,
exactly. So, you start talking about stuff like that through, you know, the past 50 years, as you grow and learn, you're supposed to evolve in life and all that, but then you get more flack because of it, but, you know, so it's all right to be alone and not celebrate them.
That's true.
When you made it through that, and then
make it an ordinary day, but make it still a good day because, well, you can celebrate being on the planet. You know.
Yeah. You can give thanks for other things as well. Not you know what the specific things about. You know.
Yeah, our national heritage. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. That's Anyways, but thanks.
Well, thank you for calling and you know, giving us a voice of an alternative view about how to kind of disconnect from the falsehood of a celebratory season and to just celebrate it for being on the planet and being thankful. Thank you so much, Scott.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good one. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
And we'll go to our next caller. Harvey,
good morning. Harvey.
Hi, Celeste and Cecil. Happy holidays to you and the audience and your audience, and a good season to us all. Oh yeah, I'd like to talk about the bigger family, the bigger family. Like, you know, the mainstream media would have us believe that we hate each other.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But the thing is, you know, our salvation, America's diversity, is its saving grace. It's our salvation. All the different racial groups, all the different religious groups, all the sexual freedom groups, et cetera, this variety is the spice of life. It's the gift. And when you have two groups, like, you know, a lot of things we see in the newspapers about war and fighting, it's always two groups. There's like a country with two groups, one dominant and the other one being repressed. And so that's it. But America, the safety lies in our diversity. And, you know, the gentleman before that, he was talking about what we're taught. Well, you know, in the past, we've been taught Newtonian physics, which is the law of separate quantifiable, measurable things, but we have now entered into the quantum physics state, and quantum physics is about entanglement at the smallest level,
maybe not even being separate at all.
That's right. We are all entangled, and I live the entangled life. That's my consciousness. It's not that person is separate from me. I'm entangled with them. We're one in the same, and I believe that we're moving to a new consciousness, and that's what should be taught. You know, as this quantum entanglement is taught in our schools and educated, the entanglement will come with it, and people will see each other in a new light. So that's what I think. America is beautiful, and I think America is entangled, and I say bless America, and the variety is the spice of life.
All right. Thank you, Harvey.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. How do you deal with holiday madness? Let's go to Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Oh,
there's you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
The lady that called in with the Dutch accent gave me an idea. Every other Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KABU is a show called The Holland Hour. It's been on for like 30 years or so.
Yes, I remember. Uh-huh.
And that's always happy, fun, festive music. So I'm thinking, have your discourage the use of booze, because that's a central nervous system depressant.
Yes, it is.
It's well, I've heard the term booze has been called sudden courage, you know, so it gives people that want to be maybe, you know,
false courage.
It gives them the, you know, thinks, well, you know, the, I'm going to give him hell now, you know, type of thing. Discourage the use of booze, but encourage some nice, happy-go-lucky type of music like the Holland Hour. Last Monday's Hillbilly Noontime Jamboree, Retta Christie brought in two of my favorite musicians, Dave Frischberg and Chris Tile, and they played some absolutely just fantastic fun jazz and old-time type of music, and it was just all, you know, it's good. It's the kind of stuff that get people up dancing around the dinner table type of thing.
All right.
And then the Roots of Rock and Roll was really good last Friday, so if people can go on the KBOO website, put that on their MP3 player, and hook it into their hi-fi system on Thanksgiving Day, and right there they've got...
They got a party.
They've got, well, the Noontime Jamboree is 2 hours, the Dutch Hour is an hour, so you have you have 4 hours of good music there.
Okay.
Which nobody can be arguing in, and plus I discourage the use of booze, and
all right,
you can find some giggle ganja. Put a little giggle ganja in the food somewhere along the way.
Well, you got to be sensitive to people's food sensitivities, but I hear you. It's like chamomile tea will work too.
Yeah.
But Joe, we got another person, and we're running out of time. So I want to thank you not only for the plug for KBOO, but for the plug for Joy. Thank you so much.
And we'll go to our next caller, Reggae
Good
Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Cecil. Good morning, Celeste. How's everybody?
Joyful.
Yeah. Coming. Hey, love Thanksgiving. Ever since I was a child, it's one of the best holidays for the gathering of the family. But like you said, Cecil, we're not little kids anymore. We got the adult situations. So one thing we didn't touch on, but it's still a big deal with Thanksgiving is, you know, when you have a married couple, you know, whose house do you go to? Eventually, it comes out to who's got the, you know, which family's got the biggest house. On our side, who's got the biggest house?
Yeah.
Who's got the biggest house?
Or the biggest spirit, you know, because sometimes the smaller house might have the bigger spirit.
Well, that too. I'll tell you, the choices. But with us, it's the biggest house because a lot of the nieces and nephews have big families.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, you can have all the spirit you want, you get all these people in one house.
Right.
Here come the scrabbles.
Hello.
I like what you're saying. At least you say in your family, you know whoever has the biggest house you go to. So that settles a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know that from the get. So great.
Yeah. Oh, and I mentioned, you know, when it comes to interracial marriages, like, you know, black folk meet, black Thanksgiving, African American Thanksgiving. But my wife is Hawaiian, and her sister married a white man, so my Christmas has turned into a Thanksgiving, kind of more like a white Thanksgiving. A whole different list of events and you know, fun, you know, for the two different races. It's a lot different. Thank goodness we got football, the common communicator.
Hello. All right.
I'm out of here. Good to have you both. See you both soon. Happy, merry holidays, KBOO family. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
We've had a mixture of thoughts and information and sharing some good ideas and
some reassurances as well. And, you know, to sum it up really quickly, as Cecil said earlier, if you're by yourself and you like it, let your friends know you're okay. If you're a friend with somebody and you think that they might need to be with somebody, ask them, but accept whatever their answer is, unless you really know them to not be able to give you the right answer. But above all, it's all about joy. And what was that you said earlier about pick your battles?
Yeah, pick your battle. I mean, you know, at sometimes, you know, I'm just not going to deal with this right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go eat a plate of food, have enough distraction. I like the idea of music, you know. People dance and music.
Share music.
I really think you need to limit your alcohol because that's, you know.
Well, call it rocket fuel and you don't want to blast off. Right. How about that? Mm-hmm. But, you know, more than anything, if you're going to use any kind of fuel, use that love that you have for your family. Remember, they're just people like you.
That's true.
Right or wrong, they're still your family and everybody needs somebody to love them.
And I think that's a good point because, you know, even if you're alone or with your family, people need love. So let's just spread the love.
All right. Well, spread the love by continuing to listen to your community connection, KBOO Portland. Stay tuned because we have the Old Mo Variety Hour coming up at 9 a.m.
Good morning. It is 9 o'clock and you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. The time, or coming up next, is the Old Mole Variety Hour. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater. Featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. And I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Oh, 90.7 FM Portland, Portland's only community-owned and democratically run radio station. Welcome to the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm Tom Becker. Joe Clement is our engineer. The Old Mole is dedicated to bringing you different perspectives on history, culture, politics, and current events.